we are all worthy of having these things. And it's when you change what you believe that you really change your reality.
Now, you may have heard of the term manifesting. What exactly is it and how do we do it?
I'm talking about Roxy Nafusi.
Roxy Nafusi.
Roxy Nafusi.
You could read one book, listen to one person speak, and it could change your life completely.
Self-development coach, inspirational speaker, and manifesting expert.
Even if things haven't gone to plan and it just doesn't go very well, It's really not that bad.
So when you go on a date with someone, what you're thinking is, I hope this person likes me. What you should be thinking is, I hope I like them.
What advice do you have to those people who actually, they don't really know what they want?
Yeah.
What do you say to them?
So,
what's up, guys, and welcome back to First Things First. We are with a very special guest, Roxy Nafusi, all the way from the UK. How are you doing today?
Good. So happy to be here. Thank you.
Thank you very much as well for being here. And I had a very good past 24 hours reading your book. It certainly made me think through a couple of things, especially with what I am wanting from life, what I want to visualize. It's actually an exercise I've not done for a very long time. In fact, a lot of the exercises and things which you recommend doing, I actually don't do. And I think I'm now going to start doing.
Yeah, I love that. Get you thinking. You know, none of the exercises are probably brand new. You've probably heard them before, or you know about them. But it's just packaging them in a way that makes you think, actually, fuck, I'm going to start this. Yeah. I'm going to do it.
It's weird. It's like a lot of us, we know what we should be doing, but it sometimes just takes like a, I don't know, it's something, maybe just some spur of motivation to actually start doing it.
100%. That's why I got into this industry, because I loved the idea that you could read one book or listen to one person speak and it could change your life completely. Mm-hmm. And it really does only take that one thing. It's like your tipping point. And you always find it at the time when you need it most.
Yeah. I'm interested to know how you yourself kind of got onto this journey, because from what I read, you weren't always the person that you are today. You're quite the party animal. You weren't necessarily saying the nicest things about yourself. So yeah. I was wondering, where did that come from?
So, short of giving you my life story, but I'll sum it up. Back in May 2018, I was really at rock bottom.
How old are you at this
point? I was 27, and I'd been in a battle with addiction for a decade. So for me, it was cocaine, alcohol. I was smoking like 20, 30 cigarettes a day. And up until that point, I can honestly say I'd never really known what it was like to be happy. Looking back, I definitely suffered from depression for my whole life, but I didn't recognize it as that because mental health was not spoken about. I think if you'd said to me, you know, when I was, you know, 15 or 16, you know, I think you're depressed, I would have thought that was something seriously wrong with me, that, and I would have been so offended by that. Because there was such a stigma attached to it. But absolutely I was. And I had absolutely zero self-worth. I mean, I've loathed myself since my earliest memories. I mean, I really hated who I was. I always felt I was, you know, ugly. I didn't fit in. I was, you know, I was just embarrassed to be me. And so when I found drugs and I found cocaine, you know, suddenly I'd have a line or something, and all of a sudden I had some confidence. And so that became really addictive in itself. And I went to my first NA meeting when I was 21. So at 21, I knew I had a problem, but it took me another, you know, NA, Narcotics Anonymous.
Okay.
So it's like AA, but for drugs.
Did someone tell you to go there? Or were you like, I should probably go
there?
No,
I knew. Yeah, I knew. I was like, I was losing friends and it was becoming, you know.
Cocaine literally will change your personality.
Yeah, I mean, it's the worst drug.
I grew up in Leeds, but I never touched anything when I was a teenager. But it wasn't until after university where I may have dabbled in a few things, mostly because of the people that I was surrounded with. And, you know, the Geordies, I don't know if you probably haven't done your party in Newcastle. They love to party.
Yeah.
And they love a bit of the white powder. So a lot of people who I was hanging around with, they they were doing it. I ended up doing it. Mm. I feel like I was able to, I never would let myself get too carried away, but I observed people who would do it on a regular basis, if not a daily basis, and they would change for the worse.
Yeah.
Like, I've actually lost a few friends because of that.
Yeah.
So I imagine that was like a similar thing for you.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think it's just, it's kind of nasty when you see people so dependent on a drug, and it became my priority. So, but then at the same time in London, it was so normal and people do it so much that you can absolutely think that you don't have a problem. And I had lots of friends who are probably doing it just as much as me. And I could see also had a, you know, were addicted, but would absolutely be in denial about that. Mm. And I remember going on a juice retreat with, do you know Jason Vail or know of him? He was kind of like created the juice, the juicing trend, and he had these juice retreats that you'd go on, and I used to love going on a retreat because I'd go on benders, you know, for a month, and then I'd go on a retreat for a week and be like, I'm clean, and then fuck it all up again. But he once said to me, he was like, well, look, if I told you that you can never eat a banana again, like bananas are killing you, they're, you know, ruining your friendships, they are costing you so much money, like you can never have a banana again, would you eat banana again? And I was like, no. Mm-hmm. And they were like, because you're not addicted. If I can say the same thing about a drug, but the thought of never having one again fills you with dread, you have an attachment to it. You have a dependency on it. It's, you are not in control of. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, yeah. Okay, cool. And that just was a really simple idea that made sense to me, that helped me to admit what I was really suffering from, which was addiction. But it's not easy to give up. And it was definitely, you know, like I said, it was a journey. But in May 2018, what had happened was, in one of my I'm going to give up and change my life moments, I decided to book myself in a yoga teacher training course. So I went to Thailand and I thought, well, this is it. I've got 1 month, no drugs, no access to any vices. I'm going to be meditating every day, 200 hours of yoga. This will be it. This is going to be the thing that changes my life. And I got back to London and a friend of mine called me and she said, oh, there's this art dinner tonight. Do you want to come? And I was like, yeah, sounds good. Like I was feeling tanned. I was fresh from Thailand. Perfect opportunity to go out. And I got to her hotel. She'd meet me here. I'm getting ready. Got to her hotel and she pulled out a bag of Coke and was like, do you want a line? And I was like, yeah, go on then. And then I ended up going on a 48-hour bender and did so many things that I regret, and woke up from that really, really, really at rock bottom because I felt so full of shame and self-loathing and thought, well, if that 200 hours of yoga isn't going to change me, what will? And that's when I called a friend of mine and I said, tell her, you know, I just don't know what to do. I feel like I'm always going to be like this. And she said, oh, she's quite spiritually inclined, this friend. And she was like, oh, babe, you should listen to this podcast on manifesting. Mm. And I was like, fuck it, I'll try anything. So I listened to this podcast and something in me just clicked. And what clicked was that I realized that this practice of manifestation was all about self-worth and I had no self-worth. So perhaps I was manifesting, but in the wrong direction. I was keeping myself stuck. So I went home and I started researching everything I could on the practice. And 2 weeks later, on the 7th of June, 2018, a man named Wade messaged me on a dating app. And a year to the day, on the 7th of June, 2019, our baby boy, Wolf, was born. And, you know, in the 5.5 or nearly 6 years that have passed, you know, every single aspect of my life has turned upside down in the best way. You know, I'm sat here with a career that I could never have dreamed of. I'm free of addiction. I actually feel confident in who I am, which is one of its greatest gifts. And everything is thanks to manifestation and these 7 steps that, you know, I created.
Mm-hmm. That's amazing. I think one of the most impressive things is definitely how you've managed to take yourself away from that, because I know many people can't, and then they just end up stuck in that world almost forever. Was it a point where you had to leave London or stop socializing with those friends?
Do you know, I think what really helped me in the end was that I found a purpose. And I had a reason to wake up in the morning and a reason not to be hungover. And it was actually, there was this, there's this experiment that I'd heard about, and this experiment was with rats, and I might be remembering it slightly differently. So if there's anybody coming at me being like, this isn't the exact experiment, but it's something like this. So they put these rats in a cage and they give it access to cocaine. And if the rats are in this cage and they have the button, they basically just keep pressing it until they die. Then they put these rats in a different cage, which was kind of like rat heaven. It had like wheels, and it had other rats to socialize with, and it had food, and it had all these other amazing things. And they found that the rats didn't do that. And so when I heard that, I thought, okay, well, it's not just the addiction to the chemical. It's about the fact, my whole life, it's the fact that there aren't other things in my life that are making me feel like I want to stay away from it, you know. And I think that I had, because I had no career at the time, I had no purpose, I, you know, doing drugs and partying was almost like, it became my identity. And when I had my son, and I, you know, when I was pregnant with Wolf, I hit probably the darkest time of my life. I was so suffering from the worst depression. I was coming off drugs and everything at once. But I used visualization in that time, and I would say to myself, when I have this baby, I will make my life the best it can be. And I was so driven to escape that pain that that drive to make something of myself became so much greater than the drive to take drugs or go out. And yeah, my friendships did change, but not for the worse.
Well, if there's one thing that's going to stop you from drinking alcohol and doing drugs, it's being pregnant. So what you're trying to say is basically get pregnant and everything's gonna be fine.
Basically. No, but you know, the thing is at the time when I first got pregnant, I remember thinking, oh, I can't wait to have this baby so I can do drugs again. Like, that was, I was just like, get this baby out of me so I can go on a night out. But thankfully, I had 9 months to ponder on life and what I was going to make of myself afterwards.
I always wonder how my life will change and how my mindset will change when I have kids.
Oh, everything will change.
Yeah, it's going to happen. And I want kids.
Yeah.
But I wonder, I think I will turn into a better person. I think I'll certainly be less selfish.
Yeah.
And, you know, now I'm providing for my little ones.
Yeah.
And I want them to have the best upbringing possible.
Yeah.
I think probably my ego will change as well.
In what
way? How when you're single, a lot of things you do is, I don't know, maybe to attract another partner or another mate. But like, if you have your wife and you have your kids, then I think a lot of the stupid stuff you do on social media, you probably wouldn't do anymore.
I think so. I think that makes sense. I mean, even I would, you know, I'm single now, but I have a son. And so I don't really care to, like, I'm not trying to meet my person forever. I've got no interest in that, really. Mm-hmm. You know, I have a career I love and a baby I love. So, like, he's my forever. And so it definitely changes the way that, what my priorities are, or the way I present myself, or, you know, what I think about. Yeah. I think it's natural.
So where did the career start? Like, how did it begin?
So I say this was like a gift from the universe, but about a week before I found out I was pregnant, I started something on my Instagram channel called Agni Aunt Sundays.
Did you have a bit of a following?
So at the time I had like 20,000 followers. So it wasn't like
absolute sesh heads following you.
Yeah, basically. And, you know, I started Instagram when Instagram just started in 2011. So I was quite early on there.
So I
had like, yeah, this small following. And I decided that every Sunday I would just start this thing called Agni Aunt Sundays, where people could ask me advice and I would just respond. And I always think, like, I don't know why I decided to do that. I guess I always liked giving people advice, and that was definitely always part of me. But what happened was, when I then did become pregnant and I hit such a dark time, and I mean, honestly, every day was like a struggle to be alive, and I was binge eating like crazy. I gained 30 kilograms. Like, I was stop leaving the house. But every Sunday I had this purpose, which was to help other people. Mm. And it became this real saving grace for me. And so part of me in that sense realized this is what I'm here to do, is I'm here to help other people. And actually the pain that I've been through isn't for nothing. It's so that I can use it to relate to other people's experiences. And I think that if you are in the profession of healing or, you know, helping to guide others, you have to have been through it to some extent yourself to be able to actually empathize or have compassion for other people. And then I immersed myself in self-development as a whole. So I was obsessed with reading books and listening to podcasts and watching inspirational speakers. And I was really inspired by people like Brené Brown and Tony Robbins. And I thought, okay, that's what I want to do. I want to inspire other people. And like I kind of said, I don't know if we were recording then, but I'm fascinated by the idea that one book or one someone speaking can change your life. And so I thought, let me just start doing workshops. So in November 2019, when my son was about 5 months old, I put on Instagram that I was going to host a self-love workshop. And I rented like an old church building. I remember it was like £200 to rent. And, you know, there was no backstage, so I was like hiding behind the curtain when people were coming on, were filling up, and there was 100 people there. And I got on stage and my legs were like trembling literally, my voice was shaking. I was so fucking nervous. And about 10 minutes in, I thought, this is what I'm supposed to be doing. And it's actually been a really amazing journey, because when you fast forward, you know, just a few months ago, I was doing another workshop, you know, but to 1,000 people at Alexandra Palace, and feeling totally in my element. And and it all began, I guess, with that one workshop. But I did that self-love workshop. The second one, I said to people, oh, I've been doing this thing called manifestation. Do you guys want to know about it? And they said, yeah, like, tell us, we'll be there. And I thought, well, how the fuck am I going to explain manifestation? Because it's such a big practice. To me, manifesting is self-development. It is a way of living. It's the umbrella of which all healing falls underneath it. And so I thought, well, I'm going to have to make it into a step-by-step process so that people can really understand how to use it for themselves. And within about 5 minutes, on the notes on my phone, I had my 7-step guide to manifesting. Mm-hmm. And I taught it at this workshop. It was at the same church. I was 100 people again. And people really enjoyed it. And they said, oh, like, that's really like empowered me. And, you know, a month later, I remember people texting me saying, oh, I've manifested this or that. And so I thought, okay, maybe I'm onto something here. And then the pandemic hit. So everything went online. I did webinars and that community grew. Then, you know, by 2021, I decided it was time to write the book. By 2022, it came out. And then here we are.
Impressive. I think there's a lot of people, I mean, men, women, particularly women, I feel as if they have fewer role models to look up to, because a lot of women who do have a large following on social media have a large following, probably for the wrong reasons, for exposing themselves. So there's certainly a lot of people that need help. And it's interesting, because from your story and what you've told me, you remind me of someone who I used to date back when I was 21, 22 at the time, but she was older than me. She was like 25. And she, in Newcastle, everybody knew who she was. She was like this really charismatic, social person who would be out partying all the time on the party scene. She drank a lot. She could handle the drink, but she also liked Coke a lot. And she was naturally quite an anxious person. I think she was very beautiful, so she'd kind of relied on her looks. She'd won Miss Great Britain. She had wealthy parents, so she didn't have a purpose. I think her parents were always giving her money, so money was never a problem. She was always dating guys with money, so she never really did anything. And I noticed when I was in a relationship with her, I would try to help her, but she kept sabotaging herself by, she would go out and she would do coke, and then she would be really anxious, and then she would take it out on me. Yeah, there wasn't, there was like nothing that I could kind of do to snap her out of that because she didn't want to change. So I think we were together for like a year, 2 years, and then I went on with my life. I think she carried on obviously doing what she was doing. And then she went on to reality TV. I think she went on to Love Island, which I don't think did her any good. I think she got like a spike in followers, but then there's always the downer after being on something like that, which then messed with her mind even more. And unfortunately, she ended up taking her own life. I think when...
Oh my gosh, yeah, that's so sad.
I mean, she must have been out of her mind when she did it, but I don't think it was like by accident. She must have been thinking about that.
Oh.
But I feel like there's people like her who she had so much potential because the way she looked, the way she spoke, her charisma, but she was never able to pull herself out of that. And I think a lot of it was to do with the fact that she didn't believe she could do it. Like she maybe didn't feel like she deserved it and she didn't have the confidence to do it. Or maybe, I don't even know if it was her parents, because I knew her parents quite well. I don't think her mum was the best person to be around because her mum was doing the coke with her.
Right.
Which is pretty fucked up. But I think her mum always like was like, no, you can't do that, or you're not good enough to do that. And I think that messed with her mind. So I think that's with the manifestation, I think reading the book, what's really important is for the people to feel as though they actually genuinely deserve better things or that they can actually achieve it.
Yeah.
Is that something which you find with your clients, that a lot of people that come to you, they just don't feel like they deserve it? Real quick, guys, I just want to share with you something which I spent the end of 2023 putting together for you. You see, in life, if you are unhappy with something, you need to change it. That is one of the core philosophies that has driven me, my businesses, and my fitness over the past 10 years. In recent years, I've been asked frequently how I've managed to go from being an average personal trainer, working all day, every day in a gym in the north of England, to the position that I am in today. That is why I decided to create the Digital Playbook. This is a step-by-step blueprint for anybody who finds themselves in the same position that I did years ago, wondering to myself, how can I make money online? Can I really make a full-time income from creating content about the things that I actually like? How can I travel the world, work from my laptop, and at the same time still afford to live a great lifestyle? It's essentially a playbook on how I built multi-million pound businesses off the back of creating content online. If you want to check it out, head over to thedigitalplaybook.net and you can book in a call with my team to find out more. Let's get back to the episode.
I think that, you know, this, the secret of manifesting is that we manifest what we subconsciously believe we are worthy of receiving. So manifestation really is all about self-worth. It's about believing that we're worthy of love and abundance and happiness and success. And the truth is that the majority of us don't feel that way. I think that, you know, if you look at really young kids, you can see that we come into this world full of confidence, okay? We are unapologetically ourselves. We don't have self-consciousness. We're, you know, we're not trying to mold ourselves to be anyone else. We are shamelessly selfish, you know? We want everything. And then what happens is life. And to varying extents, we come to believe that we're not enough as we are. And that can be as a result of our upbringing, our parents, our peers, society, whatever it is. And then we start to compound these limiting beliefs as we grow up. And then you get to an age where you're exhausted and you are suffering from mental health issues, or you realize that you're just not living the life that you really want. And so, you know, the most important journey that you go on in the manifesting process is starting to change the way that you feel about yourself and changing what you believe and realizing that we are all worthy of having these things. And it's when you change what you believe that you really change your reality.
I feel like with my journey and myself, I've always, I don't know where this has come from. I don't know, but I've always felt like I deserve the best and that I'm capable of achieving things. And a lot of people will ask me like, well, what do you think has been the key to your success or getting you to where you are today? And I feel like with me, I've always had a lot of self-belief and thinking that I can do it. If I want it badly enough, I can figure out a way to do it.
Mm.
And I've managed to do that.
Yeah.
But a lot of people don't have this self-belief. And I can't, like, I can't put it down as to a particular experience or my upbringing. I don't know where it's come from. Maybe some people are born with it or not born with it, but you can certainly, just by rewiring the way that you think and what you're telling yourself, you're definitely capable of achieving things if you think you deserve it.
100%. Like, you're someone who's like a natural manifester.
Yeah. Even when, like, when I travel, you know, I go in economy and I'm like, I deserve to be traveling business class or first class. Or if I go staying in hotels, whatever, like, I deserve to be staying in the best hotels. So obviously, I don't think that and it just happens.
Yeah.
I remember the first time I went business class, I was like, this is how I need to travel from now on. So I need to figure out how I can travel like this. So how can I generate enough money in order to fund this? And I know a lot of people who, they might fly or whatever it might be, the way they travel or just the way they live their life, they're very content with thinking, yeah, this is enough for me.
Mm-hmm.
Or like they might look at somebody traveling first class and think, oof, like that's nice, but I can't do that or I don't deserve that. And it's like, why do you think like that?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's absolutely it. And I think that's a really good example of it. And I think that, you know, what you've done there is you've almost done that step one, which is be clear in your vision. So you've seen it, you know that's what you want, and then you're going to make an action plan of how you're going to get there, which is like step three, align your behavior. But then step two, remove fear and doubt, is kind of already done for you. And you're, I think, it's a really rare position to be in when you already possess that self-belief, because I think it's what so many of us are. We're on these kind of healing and self-development journeys to get to that place. And if you have that naturally, you really want to know how to like use it to your best ability and really channel it so that you can just manifest whatever it is that you want.
When we go back to step one, when it is actually coming down to thinking about what it is that you want or trying to visualize what you want, what advice do you have to those people who actually, they don't really know what they want?
Yeah.
What do you say to them?
So lots of people say that. They're like, I don't know what I want. So I always, there's a few things. I mean, firstly, when I ask people to make a vision board. So a vision board is something that you do at the beginning of your manifesting process. And it's essentially just a visual representation of what you want your life to look like. And just to clarify, it's not the same as a mood board. So I often see people sending me images of a vision board, but it's just lots of pretty pictures. I had one with a massive picture of Chris Hemsworth just in the middle. And I was like, I get it.
He will be my husband. He will be my husband.
I get it, but it's not quite what we're trying to do. What we're really wanting to do is get really, really specific with our goals, what we want our life to look like. And so I ask people to put it into different categories. So there's a step-by-step guide in the book, but essentially I ask people to look at their career, their personal development, so your own personal growth, where you want to live, so your home life, your romantic relationships, love and, friends and family, and other. So it might be places you want to travel or things that you want to experience. And so if you categorize your life in that way, first, it's a lot easier for you to start to think about, okay, in each area of my life, what is it that I want? And you can probably think of at least one thing that you want.
Mm-hmm.
So it might be that, let's say it's your career. You might think, oh God, I don't know what I want to do work-wise. But you can know that, okay, I want to be in a position where I can financially support myself. I want to have financial freedom. I want to be in a job where I feel respected, where I feel, you know, that I have good relationships with my coworkers. I want to be in a career that I feel passionate about, where I can't wait to get up in the morning, I feel excited for. So you can start to think about at least a few things in each category. And then you're starting to form a little picture of what you want your life to look like. But I think that what's really important in the beginning of this manifesting journey, and it's a really good point for people that don't know what they want, is thinking about who you want to become. So I think that even if you don't know the specifics about your life, you definitely know who you want to show up as. And I think if all of us thought, you know, closed our eyes and visualized our best selves, we would see them. So that person is probably more confident, is more committed to healthy habits. Perhaps you can see that your future self is better at time management, or, you know, better at, you know, not procrastinating, or has more drive or ambition, or maybe that future you is actually just more balanced and is able to be more content and present. So being able to like visualize your future self is such an amazing starting place, and visualizing and thinking about how you want to feel. So thinking about those feelings as well.
Is there a problem with trying to visualize too many things? Because I know with when it comes maybe to business or setting your New Year's resolutions, sometimes if you have a list of too many things, it can be difficult to try and achieve all of them. Maybe you're better off just focusing on, okay, let's pick like one or two really big things that you want to do this year and then just do it. When it comes to the manifestation process, is there a hierarchy of like, oh, you should want this the most, and then after that you should want this? Or is it possible to kind of achieve it all?
I mean, so when I do my vision board at the beginning of the year, I put down everything that I want. I mean, make sure that they're aligned with each other. So you wouldn't put, I want to move to America, but you want to be promoted in your current job. You know, that wouldn't make sense. But if everything is aligned with each other, I think you can have as many goals as you want. Because the point of the manifestation process isn't going to be that, like, once you create a vision board, which is this clear representation of what you want your life to look like, you don't then focus on that every single day. You don't put it on your wall. Actually, what you do is put it away. And so think about it like this. When we, and I just, let me explain some of the science about why things like vision boards work, or visualization meditations. Have you ever done a visualization meditation?
No.
Okay, oh my God, you've got it. Honestly, when you start manifesting, if you've got the self-belief, you are going to absolutely thrive. Okay, so visualization meditation is just where you sink into a deep visualization of what you want your life to look like, or a particular goal you want to achieve. And the way that they work is that when we do this like regular visual rehearsal, we prime the subconscious parts of our brain to reach those goals. So essentially it will filter out any unwanted information, and it will seek out opportunities that are aligned with that goal. So just to show you how this works, let's say that you've just bought, have you ever bought a new car?
Yeah.
And then when you get that new car, do you notice that every other car on the road is that car?
Yeah. So like I would have never seen it on the streets before, but then after getting it, it's like, oh.
Exactly. So your subconscious starts seeking out information based on what you're focusing on. Mm. Or for example, I had a mental breakdown last year and got a fringe. And so
nice.
Really regretted it. But suddenly everyone on Instagram had a fringe, right? And it wasn't actually that everybody suddenly had a fringe. It was just that I was seeing what I was paying attention to and what I was focusing on regularly. Mm-hmm. And so that's how visualization works. And lots of athletes, lots of CEOs will use this technique. And it's just a really powerful way to get you started on this journey. But one of the misconceptions around manifesting is that this is the whole story, that this is what manifesting is about. It's just about visualizing your goals and then by magic, you know, it appearing. And so that's why you can get a lot of criticism around manifesting, where people think, you know, that's absolute bullshit. You can't just think about what you want and wait for it to happen.
You get many people who, when you start talking, they just roll their eyes and like, oh, here we go.
Well, yeah. I mean, you know, the thing is, the word is being so misused, and because it's become quite a trend, you see lots of sort of TikTok videos on like, this is how, you know, say this one sentence and you'll manifest this. And it kind of devalues the practice. And so you do get people say, you know, a lot of cynics. And I understand, you know, I think if I didn't understand the practice, I would at this point be like, yeah, please. Like I would. And sometimes, you know, I'll meet people and they'll be like, what do you do? And I'm like, oh, I'm an author. And they're like, what about? And I'm like, manifestation. And I just immediately almost cringe because I know what they're thinking. And I'm like, I don't know. I'm like, I don't know how long I've got to explain to you that this is not just this like fluffy spiritual practice. This is, you know, I mean, essentially, these seven steps are like a business plan.
Yeah.
You know, it's impossible to follow these seven steps and to not change your life in a positive way.
You know, a lot of this stuff is, it's kind of beyond science a little bit. Like the science, there's a lot of things in this world, in this universe that science can't prove because it's, we don't understand it yet. So I'm very much open to believing a lot of things which, you know, maybe they do get a bit of criticism and it's not scientifically being backed, but it probably works. It probably exists.
Yeah. That's a bit like if you think about the law of attraction.
Is it? Yeah. So that book, The Secret.
Yeah.
Is it similar to that or is it like it's a different thing?
So The Secret, it was one of the first books that really introduced this idea of the law of attraction to the world. But I think the Secret, is amazing and it's such a great book, but I think it focuses quite a lot on the fact that your thoughts can create your reality alone.
There's no plan.
Whereas manifestation is more about being proactive and taking action. You know, you can't, I don't believe anybody can think their way to success. You have to do the work and you have to take action and step outside your comfort zone and take risks and show up as the person that you want to become. But the law of attraction does play into it. And I think following on from what you were saying about, you know, science can't explain some things, this is where it's really relevant. So the law of attraction is the idea that like attracts like. And we do know from science, you know, quantum physics does tell us that everything in the universe is made up of energy. And there are things that have high vibrational frequencies and things that have low vibrational frequencies. So feelings and thoughts and emotions all have different vibrational frequencies. So you get high vibe emotions such as love, gratitude, joy, inspiration. And then you have things that are low vibrational. So envy, guilt,
in the book,
sadness,
you had the,
anger.
The image of...
Exactly. Yeah. And while this is not science, anecdotally, we know that when you are sitting in a high vibrational space or you feel that high vibration, you seem to attract things that match that energy. And that's what the law of attraction will say. Right. And I think that all of us know this. When have you woken up in a bad mood? You're feeling pissed off, you're angry. And then on those days, you get bad news, someone emails you, something really pisses you off, you miss your train, you lose your phone. And yet on the days where you're waking up in a great mood, you're full of gratitude, you're full of love, then you're driving to work and all the traffic lights are green. You know, so I think we all do know this. And yes, that is not explained as such by science, but we do know that
if I'm in a bad mood or something has made me angry and there's people around me or maybe even my team are around me, I notice that very quickly I can change the state of the room and have an effect on everybody else's mood.
Yeah.
So if I'm in a bad mood and I'm angry, everyone's like,
yeah,
I've killed the vibe. So as we were saying earlier, sometimes when I'm in that mood for whatever reason, sometimes I'm just in that mood. I can't help it. It's just, sometimes we wake up like that. I don't want to be around people. Like, yeah. let me go and be by myself. Like, even sometimes when I've been with, you know, like an ex-partner or something, if I've received some bad news or I'm in a bad news, or even if we've had an argument, I'm like, I'm going to go for a walk for 30 minutes or an hour. And then I just have that time to kind of get out of my system and I come back and then everything's fine.
I mean, so it's so amazing to have that self-awareness. And I honestly think people should do that more. I know, for example, every month when I have PMS, I am the dragon lady. Like, and it's not good for me to be around my team then because I will be much more hypercritical, probably. I'll also know that in those weeks, and I'm sure it's because I'm so powerful at manifesting, opportunities never seem to present themselves in those 4 days. And yet, in all the other time, you know, when I'm feeling myself and I'm feeling high vibe and I'm feeling good, the opportunities are coming in endlessly.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think when you tap into yourself and you understand, you know, your fluctuations and your moods, you really can start to use all that information so that you can perform as best as possible.
It's strange how the universe works sometimes, because if there's something at a particular time that I really want, and like I really want it, and I'm thinking about it, it's things just start happening, things just start appearing. Like even when it comes to my business and you know the way it operates, and I just think like I could really do with this exact type of person to help me with this. And I don't even need to really go looking for it. It's just if I keep thinking about it, like someone out of nowhere might just send me a DM and be like, oh, hey, Mike. Yeah, just wondering if you need any help with this. I'm looking to either relocate to Dubai or I want to, you know, have this specific job, but I want to work for you. And I'm like, this is literally the perfect person. Same thing with this podcast. For like a couple of months, I was putting off doing this podcast because I needed the right person to help me with the audio treatment and just everything to do with the sound of the podcast. And yeah, this guy, Jasper, he popped out of the blue. He'd actually been messaging me a few times on Instagram. And there was just, I just decided to go through, you know, the message requests and actually reply. And then I asked him, you don't by any chance know anything about podcasts? And he's like, well, I'm basically, I did sound engineering at university. And like, he was a massive fan of me. And he's like literally been the best person for doing this podcast. So I believe weird things that we can't really explain definitely happen.
Yeah. Yeah.
But you've got to want it. Like if you wake up every day and you're not really wanting anything, then it's going to be kind of given to you.
Yeah. Because also part of it is that these strange coincidences, which I say are like signs of the universe, happen. But the other part of it is that it is about what your subconscious is looking out for. So because if you are thinking about something, you are maybe seeing messages or noticing an email that you might have just missed or ignored otherwise. Mm. So it's always two things. It's that your subconscious, which is like 95% of our brain's activity, is always working for us. And so we have to feed it with the right things to help us. Mm-hmm. But then on the other hand, there's also this magical universe, you know, that is doing its own thing.
So how often throughout your day should you be spending just literally like trying to zone out everything but just think about the things that you want, or even just like visualizing yourself doing that thing? Is there a particular time in the day or like duration?
Yeah, so there's three times of the day where your subconscious is most susceptible to positive messaging. So I always say that this is the time where you should either do a visualization meditation or repeat positive affirmations, which is a really powerful practice for changing our belief system, which is kind of at the core of manifesting. And those three times are as you're waking up in those first few minutes, just before you're like fully conscious, as you're falling asleep, and when you're in a meditative state. So I recommend with visualization meditations to do them either when you're in a meditative state. So you could do that any time of day if you're getting yourself into that meditative, you know, by doing a guided meditation first and then going into a visualization meditation. Or when I like to do it most is just as I'm falling asleep, because I know that I'm already in a position where I'm going to be deeply relaxed, and then I can fall asleep to this like deep visualization of my future self.
The problem is, though, like I do that, but I get myself way too hyped up before bed. Like, it honestly happens so many times because I'm trying to relax myself, and then I'm visualizing myself, whether it be like I have a big guest on a podcast, and I just can't stop but think about how it's going to go and what the questions I'm going to ask them.
Yeah.
Or if it's like a YouTube video, like if I'm doing a YouTube video with a big influence or whatever it might be, I get like I almost envision like I'm already there in the video planning how it's gonna go, and I'm getting like excited for it.
Particularly
if it's like a workout video, like I will literally start getting adrenaline pumping in my system because I'm that it's that clear in my head.
I mean, but that then is amazing.
I'm like, I don't want to sleep. I'm like, come on, let's go.
Okay, so before bed isn't for you, but the fact that you are you are literally like the poster manifest boy. But like, I mean, to be able to actually, because what you want to do when you're doing a visualization meditation, the best thing that you can do is conjure up the feelings that you will have when you're in that future place. So you start to change your vibrational frequency by changing the way that you feel. So the fact that you are able to go that deep into your visualization and really imagine yourself there and immerse yourself is incredible. But maybe just choose a time of day where it works for you.
I've done that with relationships as well, you know.
Right.
Where if there's someone who I've been wanting to date, like I almost imagine the conversations we're going to have and the things we're going to do before it actually happens. So when I actually do meet that person, it just like it flows so naturally.
I love this.
Yeah.
This, you should do my job. Just tell people what you do.
But I would say, though, if we're being honest, there's two things which I haven't yet been able to crack. So one, which is really annoying, and it's the one thing that it just doesn't make any sense whatsoever, is when it comes to blood tests and needles. So like on cue... This happens throughout my life. Whenever I get a blood test or if there's anything to do with needles, I'll pass out every time.
Really?
Yeah. So it's like really weird because I'm like, where the hell has this come from? It makes no sense. And then I realized, I think it's something to do with the manifestation of what I'm telling myself, because I keep telling myself, I don't like blood tests. Mm-hmm. I don't like needles. I'm going to pass out.
Yeah.
So before it happens, I've already told myself I'm going to pass out.
Yeah.
And to the point where the nurse would come, I'd be like, oh, by the way, I should probably lie down because I'm going to pass out.
Right.
And they're like, all right.
Yeah.
Bit weird, whatever. So it's like I've not given myself any other option because I've already told myself what's going to happen.
Yeah.
So I remember because with Bionic, this company that they give you customized supplements, but in order to give you the customized supplements, you need to do a blood test every 3 to 4 months. So your blood gets analyzed, and then based on that, they can give you the supplements. So this is something which I do on a regular basis. And when I first started doing it, I was like, fuck's sake, like, it's not a nice feeling to pass out first thing in the morning.
How long are you out for?
Not long, it's just like 10 seconds. But you wake up and you're like, oh yeah, that was really cool. Enjoyed that. So I was so annoyed with it happening that I was like, right, I'm sick of this happening. So the nurse would come around, and I'd literally told myself, I'm like, I'm not going to pass out. Mm-hmm. Like, it's like, what? It's just not even anything. It's not a big deal. It's just like, it's a bit of blood coming out. Like, why are you being such a wuss about it? Like, man up. Like, you're a big man. Like, what? It's embarrassing. What else is your problem? So I would just constantly tell myself, I'm not going to pass out. Everything's going to be fine. Doesn't mean anything. And then for the first time, I was completely fine.
Incredible.
And that's when I realized it's literally the conversation you're having with yourself that is having these either negative or positive effects. I had a similar thing with public speaking, which I don't have a problem with anymore. Mm. I mean, of course, if it's a big crowd, I'll be like, whoa. But before, I think because I did it a few times at school and I didn't like it. Like you know, whether you'd have to get up and recite a poem or just do something really weird. I didn't like the feeling. Whereas what should have happened at that point in time is I should have done it more. Like I should have just practiced that every single day, gone to drama class or something. Mm-hmm. But because I didn't like the way it made me feel, I avoided it at all costs.
Yeah.
So then I went throughout my early 20s avoiding anything remotely close to public speaking, to the point where I was getting to like my mid-20s, where I was like, oh, how am I still so bad at this? And why do I still, why does it scare me? And this fear I knew was holding me back, like from this person that I wanted to be, and being on stage, speaking with confidence, I knew that if I didn't address it, then my career is going to be held back. So it's one of those things that you mentioned in the book, you just have to get out of your comfort zone and just practice it. And instead of thinking like, oh my God, I'm so scared, this is going to be horrible, be in a position where you're like, oh, actually, it's great that I have an opportunity to, you know, share my knowledge and speak to all these people who are actually genuinely interested in what it is that I've got to say.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, I think this is why things like affirmations are so important. So you spoke before about, you know, the needles and the fact that it was just the way you were talking to yourself. And this is 100% true. Our subconscious can't differentiate a truth from a lie. So whatever you tell it to, or whatever you say in the language that you use, your subconscious will take as absolute truth. And so whatever you're saying really to your subconscious is just a command. It's a statement of truth. So if you're going around saying, I'm going to pass out, I'm terrified of needles, this is what's going to happen, your subconscious is just doing whatever you tell it. And so for most people, we're going around saying, I'm not good enough, it's not going to happen for me. We've got so many phrases in the UK, like sod's law, or, you know, just everyone, you'll say, oh, just my luck, typical that this bad thing would happen to me, you know. And so we're already setting ourselves up to expect, you know, that things are going to go wrong. And eventually that's what we're going to manifest, is the reality we're going to create for ourselves.
I had a client like that when I used to coach people.
Yeah.
He was a personal trainer. She always used to come in and just the whole hour was just complaining.
Yeah.
About things not going away or just everything. And I was like, no wonder you're miserable.
Yeah.
You literally complain about everything all the time.
Yeah. It's a really hard thing to admit when we're in sort of victim mentality. And, you know, a big part of stepping into your power and starting this manifestation process is actually just taking responsibility for the fact that you are keeping yourself stuck. And, you know, my second book, Manifest, Dive Deeper, I have a section about, you know, stop moaning. Like, if we can all just get out the habit of complaining about every little thing, and such meaningless things. You know, there's traffic. My food didn't arrive exactly as I wanted at a restaurant. You know, it's just constantly draining us and also putting us in this sort of scarcity mindset that there isn't enough, that there's not enough greatness. Whereas what we're wanting to do is constantly putting ourselves in an abundant mindset. There's enough for us all. There's, you know, we already have so much, and then the universe gives us more abundance. So if we can really think about the fact and accept the fact that whatever we're saying to ourselves, we will create as a reality. We can then use things like affirmations to feed our subconscious with more positive and empowering thoughts. So if we start saying to ourselves, I am enough, I am worthy of success, today is going to be an incredible day, I'm excited for the opportunities ahead of us, our subconscious will be like, okay, let's find evidence to support that. And it's constantly going to then seek out opportunities or seek out experiences that are going to align with that new truth that you've been telling it. And so affirmations, and the reason they're so powerful is because you don't have to believe them to be true. So if somebody is very like negatively inclined, which I used to be, you can feel silly to say, I'm enough, I'm worthy, I'm excited for today, if really you're not feeling that way. But remember that your subconscious can't tell the difference. So whatever you say to yourself, it will believe to be true. So it's a really nice little like trick that you can use to trick your brain into experiencing something more positive. So you can start saying it about the needles.
Yeah. It's interesting as well. You mentioned about gratitude and the importance of gratitude and how, you know, when we're healthy and everything's actually going really well, we actually take it for granted. And whenever, say for example, me, whenever I get an injury or if I am sick, you're just like, oh my God, I just wish I could go back to being healthy and uninjured again. But then when we get back to that point, we forget about how good it actually is.
Yeah.
Like I always used to, I would go to the gym and I would complain about like training legs. I didn't enjoy training legs. I was like, oh, this is going to be horrible. I hate this, blah, blah, blah. But then I was thinking, well, how good is it that I can actually do this and I actually have a pair of legs and that they're working and I can do these exercises without any issues or problems. It's like, I'm actually really fortunate to be in this position to be able to do this.
Yeah.
So it completely changes the way I think about it.
Absolutely. There's this mindset shift that I write about in the book, which I'd heard when I was spinning. So I'd gone to the spin class in London. And I remember, you know, getting so tired. I was exhausted. I was like, fuck this. I wish I wasn't here. And as if he could read my mind, the instructor goes, you don't have to be here. You get to be here.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, ah, yes. Yeah. Like it's such an amazing mindset shift. You don't have to do it. You get to do it. And you can use it for everything. You don't have to cook your kids dinner, cook dinner for your kids again. You don't have to go to work. You get to do those things. You get to go to work. You know, you get to cook dinner for your kids. You get to go to the gym. You get to do these things. And, you know, it's so powerful. And I think that, you know, step five of my 7-step guide to manifesting is gratitude. And I think it's something that really gets missed in the manifestation process because people think it's just about more, 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 but it's not. It's about making the life that you already have feel as fulfilling as possible. Mm. And you can absolutely train your brain to focus on the good in your life and to feel more content. And, you know, when I think about general happiness, like what does it really mean to be happy? I think it's about being able to, you know, take time to appreciate the ordinary moments of joy day to day, because I think that we think a happy life is, you know, reaching these like big milestones. But the truth is when we reach them, we're happy for about 5 seconds. Mm. You know, none of that happiness is lasting. What's lasting is an ability to appreciate everything that you're experiencing right now. So I have this exercise called a positivity journal in the book, and it's my favorite exercise, and I think everybody should do it. So every night before bed, you write down every good thing that happened that day in chronological order. So the sun was shining, my coffee smelled good, I had a great catch up with a friend, I went to the gym when I said I wanted to, you know, whatever it is. And what you realize is that each day is filled with beautiful moments that otherwise go completely unnoticed. And you know, it's something I already do with my son. So every night before bed, I say to him, what was your favorite thing about today? And oh my God, it was so cute yesterday. He said, I have 5, you know, and he starts naming these things. He was like, Soraya was kind to me and I played zombies on the bouncy castle, you know, and it's so cute. And 100% I see how positive he is. Like I have never heard him say, I'm bored. Like I don't hear him moaning or complaining because I've instilled this ability to appreciate the good just from this tiny little gratitude practice. And we can all do that. We can retrain our brains at any age. So anybody who's listening to this who is more, has a tendency to be more negative or to focus on where they're lacking, try this positivity journal and see what happens.
Is there a particular step which you find quite a lot of people struggle with the most? Very quickly, guys, I just want to ask you a quick question. Are you taking supplements? And if you are, do you have any idea if you're taking the right supplements in the right amounts? You see, the more that I discovered about the importance of micronutrient supplementation and the adverse health effects of micronutrient deficiencies, I would constantly ask myself the same thing. I would go into supplement stores, load up on bottles of micronutrients and pop pills daily without really knowing if they were doing me any good or not. That's when I decided to try out Bionic. Since 2021, I've been getting my blood work done with them every 3 to 4 months. And once the blood test has been analyzed, they would put together a customized micronutrient formula tailored specifically for me. And this would last me for 3 to 4 months until I got my blood work done again. And since then, I've honestly never looked back. If you are also serious about performing at your best, preventing development of diseases and maximizing your overall health and well-being, I highly recommend you give it a try. And they've recently introduced Bionic Go, which is a fraction of the price, where all you need to do is just fill in a questionnaire online without the need of a blood test. If you want to find out more or give them a try, head over to bionic.com, but you can use my exclusive referral code BQMikeThurston for a discount on your first order. Let's get back to the episode.
Step two, remove fear and doubt, is definitely the hardest because this really is about changing your belief system and healing, essentially. You know, I think that I used to, when I started, you know, I thought that looking at your past was a waste of time. I was like, I just want to move forward and look ahead and change what I'm doing. And only in time did I realize that actually for all of us, and nobody is an exception, our past is dictating our future because we are a culmination of all our experiences and traumas and wounds. And at the moment, unless you're taking time to heal those wounds and process the things that you've been through, everything that you view is through that lens of your past. So I always imagine you're wearing a pair of glasses. And these lenses in the glasses are currently murky because they're filled with our own sort of self-doubt, with the experiences that have shaped us. And healing is clearing those lenses so we can view things differently. Mm. So we can, you know, all the interactions that we have. Let's say you have somebody that has, you know, had some trauma, you know, to whatever extent, you know, but they've had some trauma or some wounds in their childhood that has made them believe that they're really not good with people. They're not good in social situations, perhaps that they're not likable. And then you've got someone else like you who has much more self-belief. You have quite a healthy kind of, you know, self-identification, you know, you see yourself in a more positive light, you probably feel confident in social situations. So if you and the person with more limiting beliefs went to have to a party, and you had a social interaction with someone for 5 minutes, and that interaction was exactly the same, the person said the same things, did the same body language, you and that person would see it and view it completely differently. So that person might misread that person's body language as being off. They might think that they were being perhaps rude, or, you know, that they were dismissive, or that they were seemingly bored of their company. And so in response, that person would probably be rude back, mm-hmm. or be defensive, and actually create the self-fulfilling prophecy. Whereas you wouldn't misread those, you know, body language signals or that tone, because you don't have that belief system, which is kind of altering the way that you're viewing it.
Yeah. But I would say, though, the fear and the doubt is definitely there.
Yeah.
And it's not there. I feel like I have an ability to shut that little voice up.
What techniques do you use to do that?
I think it's, if I am going to be stepping out of my comfort zone and doing something different, of course, there's all this, like, the thoughts come into my head of, oh, what if this doesn't go to plan? Or what if this, like, is really embarrassing or doesn't work out? I just try not to block them out and just think about everything's going to be okay. And I think more importantly, when even if things haven't gone to plan and it just doesn't go very well, it's really not that bad. Like, even if it was something on social media as well, it's people just forget about it. Like, nobody really cares. Everybody cares about themselves. Like, nobody's really that invested into your life and what you're doing. So if something doesn't really work out, then that's fine. Just go on to the next thing. I think back to all the times when I have been, something's made me angry or been stressed out or upset about something. I look back at it now and I'm like, why was I even bothered?
Yeah.
Like, everything always has a way of figuring itself out. And usually those experiences which have been particularly difficult for me, whether it's been with a relationship or like a business failure or losing money, whatever it might be, those most challenging times have been what has really built me and made me stronger.
Yeah.
So in a way, I try to see it as, oh, okay, that didn't work out, but, you know, something better is going to come after that. Same thing with relationships. There must be so many people, that, including myself, when a relationship doesn't work out, you think it's the end of the world, you feel terrible, or you might think, oh, I'm never going to meet someone like that again. You will almost always be in a position where someone somehow more suited to you or better for you just appears.
Definitely.
So you don't need to stress or worry about it.
No. Well, this is, I mean, you're doing it again. That's step four. Yeah. You're manifesting naturally. So step four is overcome tests from the universe. And that is all about how you view obstacles and challenges. And, you know, I always say manifestation is a life practice, so it has to account for real life. And in life, there are going to be times that things don't go your way, where you're met with rejection, like I said, obstacles or challenges. But how you respond to them essentially is what matters. That's what determines where you end up. And you've always got a choice. You've got a choice where either you say, the fact that this didn't go right is proof that I'm not good enough, or is proof that it's not going to work out for me, and then you give up. Or you're able to look at it as an opportunity for learning and for growth, and you know, to help you actually get one step closer to where you need to be. And that's why, you know, step four for me is actually my favorite step, because it gives you this bounce back. you know, this ability to just navigate the ebbs and flows of life with such greater resilience and ease.
Mm. When it comes to business as well, if you obviously I've spoken to a few of them on the podcast, and I know some people who are friends. It's very rare that they've gone off, created a business, and that business is just, oh, that's the one that's like really successful. They have so many failures back to back, but they're so persistent and they just refuse to fail that eventually they just keep trying. And then there's the one thing.
Yeah, exactly.
Finally works out. But when, what I think is quite interesting is the relationship aspect of it. So I know there's some people who they're at a point in their life where they just, they really want a boyfriend or they really want a husband. But there's some of those people who I've been observing them and they still haven't met that person. Mm-hmm. So when it comes to relationships, do you have any advice for people who are trying to find that perfect man? Because I know with some women, I mean, they have the highest of the highest expectations to the point where I honestly feel like they've kind of created this fantasy man that actually doesn't, that person does not exist. So if you keep, I mean, of course, it's important to have high standards, but if your standards are so unreasonably high, you know, the universe might actually put a great guy in front of you.
Yeah.
And there might be like one little thing.
Yeah.
That, you're like, oh, no, this is the guy I want.
Yeah.
And then because the universe is putting this person in your face, you're just saying no because it's not as good as I want him to be. And then you actually end up just being lonely and not finding somebody.
Yeah. I think it's a really good question. I mean, there's so many things that I could say here, but let's start at the beginning. Step one, be clear on your vision. When you're looking for a perfect partner or somebody that you want to be with, firstly, think about the qualities that are actually important. And I think that what happens is that people write down this list of, I want them to be this tall and this color eyes, and I need them to have be impeccably dressed, and I need them to earn this much money and all these things. And then at the bottom, you know, they might put, you know, and kind and funny. And actually, I think what we're going to do is we're going to, like you say, these people don't really exist that have like absolutely everything. There is no perfect person.
Or maybe they do, but there's 0.0001% of them out there. And then you've got the entire female population trying to get them to propose.
Right. So I think what you want to be thinking about is, how does this person make me feel? And how do I feel within this relationship? So I want someone that I have passion with. Like, of course, you want to feel attracted to that person. I want to feel at home with that person. You want that feeling of safety, of being comfortable with someone. You want to feel excited by them. Perhaps you want to feel like you can, you know, explore with them, or there's a playfulness, you know, whatever it is. But thinking about those kind of qualities as your starting point, I think, is much more important than just writing down a list of like physical attributes or the amount of money you want them to earn. I mean, you can put that you want someone to be ambitious and driven and motivated. I think that's different. You know, that's a personality trait that I think, of course, is attractive. And then you go to step two, which is remove fear and doubt. And I think for a lot of people, this is the hardest step, of, as we've said already, but especially when it comes to love. I think to feel that you're worthy of unconditional love is something that can be really difficult. And so what we do is, instead, is we look to for people to fill those voids within us, to make us feel wanted and needed. And, you know, that causes all sorts of problems when it comes to dating, because what happens is, when you start dating and when you go on a date, what you do is you're just looking to be validated and to feel like you're enough. So when you go on a date with someone, what you're thinking is, I hope this person likes me. What you should be thinking is, I hope I like them.
Yeah.
You know, that's the more important question. I hope they, you know, live up to my expectations. I hope they treat me right. I hope they make me laugh. But all we're thinking is, am I good enough? Yeah. Will I be liked?
There's a lot of guys who they might get a little bit, maybe they don't have a huge amount of experience when it comes to dating, or they're a little bit nervous, or maybe, you know, this is the one date where they're actually with, they're going to be meeting a really beautiful woman who they might think, oh my God, like, I'm actually going to get nervous now. Maybe I'm not worthy of being with this person.
Yeah.
And I would always say to them, or even for myself, like, especially when I was younger, I used to get nervous before every day, yeah. like super nervous. And that was because of the things that I was telling myself. Mm. Whereas now, it sounds kind of weird, but it's almost like you have to tell yourself, like, you know, I am the prize.
Yeah, yeah.
Like this person would actually be lucky to be with
yeah,
me.
Yeah, yeah.
Like you have to have this almost over-inflated sense of self-worth just to calm your nerves
yeah.
and give you that confidence. And you want to almost like, you want to look in the mirror and be like, I'm the man.
Yeah.
Like I am the man.
That's your pre-day affirmation. yeah. I am the man.
go on the date and just, you got to be, because you have to be like that. You have to be cool. You have to be relaxed.
Yeah.
Because I've done it before where I've been nervous before a date and then I just start doing the weirdest things. Like I will, like weird thing. I would ask a question. I'm like, that's the fucking weirdest question I could possibly ask. Like, why did I ask that? And then it just, well, I'm just not myself.
Absolutely.
And then if you're not yourself, then they'll probably know that you're not being yeah. yourself and you're just being like really weird and awkward. And then it's just a terrible first date and then you fucked it. Like, are they going to want to have a second date? Maybe they'll give you another chance, but you have to go into that date or meeting with the right yeah. mindset for sure.
Well, I think what's like incredibly important when it comes to dating is to stop taking it so personally. And I think that's the problem, is people are taking dating way too personally. So they think that if somebody doesn't like you, it's a reflection on you, but it's not. And it's actually just an energy thing. And I think once I realized that, I felt like complete freedom. Okay, think about it like this, that you meet thousands of people, right, throughout your lifetime. I mean, thousands and thousands. And there are some people who you can't explain why you just have a connection with. So think about your friends. You've met so many of them. Why are those five friends your friends? They probably, those five friends have completely different qualities. They look completely different. You know, they have different attributes. And yet for some reason, you just connect with them. That is just an energy thing. I always say, like, I have this DHL driver that always drops my packages. I fucking love him. He doesn't speak English. We don't communicate. We don't have conversations, but we have a moment. We clearly like each other so much. And it's just an energy thing. We just have a good energy. And it's the same with friendships, with dating, with, you know, the person at your post office, whatever it is. Some people just have a magnetism and that isn't personal. And I think when you can get on board with that, it's so much easier because you might be a great person, they might be great, but you just don't have that chemistry. You yeah. don't have that energetic connection. And it's not about either of you being not good enough or even too good for the other person. It's just, was there a fit? Yes or no? And it's actually only when you can let go of that need to be liked by people and that need and that search for validation that you're actually able to see it. So I think, especially as women, we can maybe go on a date and have somebody that we think is, you know, actually meant to, but you see they've got the attributes. You think, oh my gosh, like this is the kind of person I want to be with. And so you'll tell yourself you like them, even though if you're honest, there wasn't that chemistry and it wasn't that match.
That's what I used to, when I'd go on a first date, I would try and make it the most elaborate first date ever to like impress them. Mm. But then I realized it was a few times this would happen and almost immediately in the first 5 minutes, I'm like, oh dear. Like
yeah, you just, know there's, instantly.
And then I'm like, oh, fuck, I have a long night ahead.
What's the most elaborate date you've done?
Oh, I've literally taken someone to the Maldives before knowing them properly.
Stop.
Yeah.
How did it go?
Oh, it wasn't, because I went to the Maldives before.
Right.
First time with someone who I ended up being in a relationship and it was amazing.
Right.
Like, incredible place, incredible experience. And the thing about the Maldives is there isn't really much to do.
No.
There's a lot of like time with that person that you're with. So you have to go with the right person. And I had just thought, oh, that previous Maldives trip was great. So it's going to be like that again.
Mm-hmm.
So I just like casually said to this person, I didn't really know, let's go to the Maldives. And of course she was like, okay. So then we went and then it was just like, the chemistry wasn't there, which I just assumed would be there.
Yeah.
And I was trying to replicate this like first trip and it just couldn't be replicated. I was like, oh, like this is so weird. Like I was trying to make it happen, but it just wasn't happening. Yeah. And it was just like, fuck, that was a pretty expensive first date.
Yeah. And must have felt long.
Yeah. So what I would do now, if I want to get to know someone or I want to just see if there's going to be chemistry, I'll just do something casual. I'd be like, hey, let's go for coffee.
Yeah.
Let's go for a walk.
Yeah.
I just want to do something where I can at least get to know them face to face quickly to know whether or not I'm going to vibe with them. Because if I don't, then it's like, oh, you know, I've just had a coffee, you know, have a conversation with someone for 30 minutes and then that's that. I don't have to be so invested into it. So that has worked so far. Yeah.
It's much better. And look, and like that girl you took to the Maldives, it's not like there was anything wrong with her. You know, you obviously before thought she was all these amazing things. So it wasn't really about her. It was just a chemistry thing.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I think it's such a nice like lesson for people.
Yeah. I think, people just don't need to be so beat up if things don't work out.
No.
Even that used to be the case. It's happened a few times where I'd go on a date and I'd actually like the person, but I would get full on ghosted and I would take it really personally. And I just thought, hang on, come on. Like, she's hot. She's probably talking to about 10 different guys and has an option of 100 guys. So maybe you just didn't quite make it into the top three.
Yeah.
So don't be so butthurt. Maybe just go work on being that guy that will get you into that position where you are in the top three.
I think that's nice for you to share that because I'm sure you have lots of male followers who listen to you who probably think you never get ghosted.
Oh, yeah.
So it's probably very reassuring.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, it doesn't really happen as much anymore. But
don't fuck it up now. You're making people feel good. You're being relatable.
No, I'm saying though, but because I've worked my ass off to get myself into this position, I think a lot of guys struggle when they're in the 20s because when you're in your 20s, like when I was in my 20s, you just don't really, there's a lot of life you still don't understand. You haven't got stuff figured out. You're not quite as smooth with the ladies as you want to be.
Yeah.
You don't have any dating or life experience.
Yeah.
You haven't done a huge amount. You probably don't have a huge amount of money either, which is, you know, a bit of a problem. You don't have that status, you know, in your career or whatever it might be, social media. That it is very difficult. It's a lot more difficult for guys in today's world, you know, with social media and everything else that's going on. So I just tell people, don't get so butthurt and offended. Just go work on yourself. Because trust me, if you put the work in now, you'll get to a position where you're in your late 20s, 30s, where it's going to be very different.
Yeah, 100%. And look, the number one, I think they've done studies, and the number one thing that people rate as the thing they find most attractive is confidence, both, and that goes for both men and women. Mm-hmm. So if you can work on that healing journey, you know, removing fear and doubt and finding that worth and confidence, that is nothing more magnetic or attractive than that.
Yeah. There's something which you mentioned in the book about envy versus inspiration, which I think was quite interesting. Because it's something which I've experienced with my journey and also when I look at other people. So whenever I see other people doing better than me, I've never really been in a position where I have a negative thought and I'm jealous. I always see it as that's so inspiring. Like I want to do that. Is there a way to kind of retrain your brain into seeing things as being more inspirational instead of being that person who is jealous and that will think instantly of something negative, or do we want to go on social media and write like a negative comment?
Yeah, I mean, definitely. I think that everything is about self-awareness and then making conscious decisions to change your perspective. So envy really comes from this scarcity mindset. So it says that there's not enough to go around. So if you have something, that might mean less for me. And I always say that envy is really just an expression of our fears and doubts. This is an expression of our own insecurities. And, you know, how often has a confident person walked in the room and someone has said, oh, they're so up themselves? You know, but really what's happening is that person is perhaps envious of that confidence, you know, and they want to have that for themselves. And so at the very first step, it's about really recognizing when you're feeling envious and when you're passing it on as judgment. Because I think people don't like to admit they're feeling jealous or feeling envious. You know, they think, no, I'm not. But they are judging people. And judgment really is just envy in disguise. So first, it's about having that awareness. I'm judging someone because I'm feeling envious. Or actually, I can just recognize that I've seen this person succeeding or doing this thing that I really want to be doing. And it's giving me that pang, you know, that. And it's a pang. I feel like it's a feeling you get in your tummy when you're like, oh, It just makes you feel off. And so not judging yourself for feeling that way. I mean, look at kids. They get jealous. You know, they experience it their earliest years where another kid's got their toys. So it's a very natural emotion for us to experience. So we should absolutely not be judging ourselves for it, but being able to be aware of when it's happening and then make a decision to turn that into an inspired thought. So let's say you see someone on holiday. And your first thought is like, oh, I can't believe they're on holiday again. Instead, you can say, wow, that's actually really reminded me how much I want to travel. And I'm going to add that place to my vision board. And so you always have an opportunity to turn it into an inspired thought. And inspiration comes from an abundant mindset. It says there is enough for us all. And, you know, inspiration has this much more high vibrational quality. And I think when you're on your manifesting journey, you can go a step further and actually seek out to be inspired. You know, look for people that show you what's possible.
Have you experienced much negativity with the success that you've had?
I haven't really firsthand. I feel like I've been quite lucky that I don't have like trolls and things like that. But
I'll be the first one there.
Oh, thank you so much. Just give me a taste. Just see you commenting underneath today. But I would say that, yes, of course, I am very aware that there are people behind my back saying shit. Of course there are. But I mean, I don't care because nobody can be liked by everybody. I just want to hope that the people that are meant to hear my message will, and anyone else, you know, it's insignificant to me, really. I think it's important to take that pressure off and that need to be liked by everyone. There's a great quote which says, stop trying to be liked by everyone. You don't even like everyone.
Yeah.
And it's so liberating and freeing when you take that pressure off. And what did it for me was when I realized that I thought about, you know, the people that I really admire, you know, whether it was celebrities or other speakers or even just friends of mine. And I thought about those people and I thought, well, as many people as that there are that like them, there are as many that don't like them, that find them irritating or that find them, you know, whatever. And I thought, right, there's nobody on earth that is universally liked.
Yeah.
And so I don't need to be liked by everyone. And, you know, everything becomes easier when you have that mentality. Not that you want to walk around being a dick, like you sort of be a good person. But at the end of the day, it allows you space to be yourself and to be authentic. And authenticity is magnetic, you know, it really is.
I don't think you can really be hugely authentic if you are trying to please everyone.
Impossible.
Because you're the type of personality that you would have to have and the content that you would make would be so boring and just generic. Like, even with myself, like if I tried to please everyone and not offend anybody, my content would be so boring. I couldn't be myself. Like, I literally couldn't be myself. I mean, if you can't be yourself, then you're not being authentic and then you're just not going to stand out at all. And I think that's, if you do want to have any degree of success in social media, you have to be yourself and you have to kind of figure out a way of standing out. Maybe you're going to have to voice your opinions.
Yeah.
And if you have opinions, particularly strong opinions, then you're going to get people who will have different opinions and people who won't like you.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. I think especially now, I mean, it's hard to show up on social media authentically if you don't have that thick skin, I suppose, because people are so mean.
Yeah.
Like, there are a lot of unhealed people who are just so horrible to others. And I always say, like, I'm absolutely prepping myself for the takedown because people only build people up to take them down, especially in the UK. I'm mentally prepping myself for that. I mean, I hope it doesn't happen, but I'm prepared if it does.
You just reply to people. I mean, I don't really reply to anyone. You just reply with like a really overly positive response and they're like, what the fuck? Or you just say like, oh, I really do hope that you're healing through the whatever that you're going through right now, because you must really be suffering. I think what else is quite interesting as well, this is what I wanted to discuss with you, that I guess there's like you talk about loving yourself and the importance of loving yourself, but then if you do that too much, do you become selfish? And is there a problem with being selfish? Because I've actually had some people say to me, they're like, oh, you're so selfish. And then I think, well, yeah, I am. I'm looking after myself. Like I had once upon a time been in a position where I tried to please everybody. Mm. Like I really tried to go out my way to make everybody else happy. And the problem is when you do start to see some success, you get more people wanting favors. Mm. And if you are like overly nice and naive and you do all these favors and you say yes to everything, you end up getting almost abused or taken advantage of.
Yeah.
So I've had to be a little bit more selfish to protect myself and my time and my energy.
Mm.
Because if I want to get to the position that I want to be in, if I'm manifesting these things, I have to be selfish to some degree. Because if I'm not, then I'm not going to be able to achieve those things.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's a really good question to bring up. I think that actually one of the reasons people struggle with self-love or being able to have a, you know, that ability to set boundaries and, you know, honor their needs is because they have this fear that's going to make me unlikable, it's going to make me a bad person. But the truth is, you know, self-love is about honoring your needs, being able to set boundaries, and it's just a necessity for it. And I think that you have to make a choice of what kind of life you want to live. And if you want to live a life where you're pleasing everyone, then it will be at the expense of your own happiness.
Mm-hmm.
And you can be someone that puts yourself first, that doesn't say yes to everybody, and that doesn't let people walk all over you, and still be a good and kind person. You know, you can be both. It's not that once you start putting yourself first, you become, you know, a complete asshole.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that you know your own worth and you value yourself. And it means that you then have more love to give to the people that do really deserve it in your life.
Mm-hmm. I'm curious to know what it is that you are manifesting for yourself right now.
Oh, you know, it's a really good question, because in the first few years of me doing this, I had so many goals. You know, when the book hadn't come out yet, and I remember so clearly that 2022 vision board, the book was like 3 days from coming out. And to be honest, I didn't really know if it was a good book. You know, I'd only had 8 weeks to write it. I'd never written a book before. Yeah. But I was like, I'm not going to let those fears and doubts get in my way. When I write my vision board, I always say to people, be as like brave and courageous as possible. So I wrote down, you know, the manifest book. I was put Sunday Times bestseller, multiple languages, seen at airports, see people reading it on holiday, American morning TV show. Like I was so specific. I put Jay Shetty. Like I went so big on these goals, and they all happened. They all manifested. And 2023, the same again. And then when it came to this year, I didn't really have that same maybe ambition when it came to my career, because I feel like in such an abundant place, and as long as things to continue to grow forward, that's enough for me. But actually what I wanted to manifest was more balance. I felt that I'd actually turned my addiction from cocaine to work, which also isn't healthy, and I wanted to be able to have more fun this year and, you know, start hopefully dating again and without cocaine. Exactly. And, you know, just enjoy life, be present, be mindful, enjoy my success. That's my focus at the moment.
I think for me, I'm ambitious and there's lots of things which I want to do, but I also really enjoy having freedom and being able to just be like, oh, actually today I don't want to do this.
Yeah.
I want to go and do this.
Yeah.
Like, say for example, going to Japan, I've spent like over 2 weeks there because I'm still in a position where I have that freedom.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas if I if I go too much towards the work side of things and just constantly be like more money, more achievements, I won't be in an opportunity where I can do the cool things that actually provide me with a lot of happiness. Like I came back from that trip to Japan, like yesterday I just woke up and I was like so down because I had like holiday blues.
Oh,
I was just like, fuck. But that's the sign of a good trip.
Yeah.
Like when you come away from one of those trips and you're feeling like that, I was like, don't be like depressed or sad that you feel this way. Actually think the reason why you feel this way is because you had such a good time.
Yeah.
So that like things like that, I just think, okay, yeah, that's fair enough. But yeah, moving forward so I have to be careful with thinking about what it is that I want. Mm. Because if you sometimes want too much of one thing, then it means you get less of another thing.
Yeah.
Like if you are completely and utterly obsessed with your career, you're probably not going to have the time or the energy to have a really great relationship where you go and travel and have all these experiences with your partner at the time. So I think sometimes certain things will take a priority, and then if you want that to change, then it's fine. You can change it.
It's why on the vision board I put categories so that people are forced to look at their lives as a whole rather than just focusing too much on just their career goals or just their relationship goals. So I think it can go the other way. People are so focused on finding a partner or being in a relationship, they actually forget to build themselves up as, you know, on their own and focus on their own purpose and drive. And so it really is important to look at your life as a whole and, yeah, don't forget to live.
Yeah. Are you based in London now?
Yeah, yeah.
You still liking it?
Yeah, I love it. You know, I think I love London. My little boy's now at school there and he loves it. But I really wanted to travel more this year, which I've been doing. And
where else is on the list?
To go.
Yeah.
Going to Italy.
Oh, yeah. Never been?
Next week. I haven't been for years, and that was on my vision board. I wanted to go back, so I'm going to Tuscany in a couple of weeks. I've already been to, like, we did loads of travel at the beginning of this year. I got to visit Sweden and New York and LA, and I'm going to Austin, Texas, which I can't wait for. Never been, but it seems so, like, such a cool hub there now.
Yeah, you should go on Chris Williamson podcast. He's a good guy.
Can you link me up?
I'll try my best. And you have something in the pipeline as well, but I don't know if you can announce that yet or not.
Yeah, not yet. No. But I can tell you that I'm writing another book.
Okay.
A fourth book. Not on
Manifestation Part 4.
No. Actually, do you know what? Someone, when I had Manifest Dive Deeper, then Manifest for Kids, and then someone was like, when's Manifest for Cats and Dogs? I was like, I get it. It's too much. I'm done with the manifesting. As in, I will always talk about manifesting. For me, it's the foundation of self-development. But there are no more manifesting books. I've said everything I could say on the matter. And now I'm going to bring out a new book around a different subject, but still within the healing space.
It's good that you're doing that, because I think you mentioned as well how you can sometimes have a problem where you kind of get yourself stuck into this, I don't know, niche or thing which you are known for.
Yeah.
And then it can sometimes be quite hard to kind of get out of that.
Yeah.
And you sometimes let it define you.
Mm. Like, yeah.
For me, I love going to the gym. So I started going to the gym, became a personal trainer. Then I was a coach. All the content I made on YouTube was related to the gym. So I was like, Mike is the gym guy.
Yeah.
Like he is in this category and that's all he does. And I was like, I don't want to be just known as the gym guy.
Yeah.
Like, that's
when did you make that shift then?
I think it was 2018, 2019.
Right.
Where I was like, I'm so bored of talking about this now, because I've kind of said what needs to be said. I don't want to go back and keep repeating what's already been said. Of course, I can put my own spin on it, but there's some people in the fitness industry that just like literally run out of content, that start making content which contradicts older content,
right?
Because they're just trying to get views.
And how did you find, can I ask, because I think what's really interesting is you've had a really established audience for something you were doing, and then to take the risk essentially go into to do things differently. Did you find that you kind of lost some followers before you gained more?
I remember when I started, so I had a passion for travel and I wanted to just get more of my personality out there, because I had a personality which people, they didn't really see, because it was like when I was on camera, I would speak to people as if they were my client. So right. It was quite a serious person and personality. And because I was doing a lot of coaching, I wanted to obviously get more people on board that would work with me, that would pay me good money. So I had to act like the coach that people want to work with.
Right.
And it was just like very tiring, like, because I just wanted to just be myself and be like a little bit stupid or silly or whatever. Mm. But I couldn't really do that because I was known as like Mike the coach.
Yeah.
So I started the traveling and the vlogging, and I started to document it, and I put the videos up, and then people would be like, the fuck is this? Like, you don't make these videos. Like, go back to the fitness videos. So I was in a position where I would still make the fitness videos to keep the existing subscribers happy, but then just start putting in a little bit of these other videos. And then I think gradually some people liked it, some people didn't like it or care. And then some people would, I would find a lot of a new audience that didn't exist beforehand. So of course, if you make gym videos, but how to build muscle, you're only going to get people who are interested in building muscle. You start doing travel videos or videos on food and lifestyle, all of a sudden you've got like everybody is interested in travel. Yeah. Like, I go and put these Japan videos out. Like, I'm pretty sure everyone's pretty curious to know what Japan's like.
Yeah.
So now I put out a poll, I think this was like a year ago. I was like, do you want to see more fitness, nutrition, training videos, or do you want more travel, vlog, lifestyle? And it was 50-50.
Amazing.
So yeah, you kind of got to keep both people happy, but you can't be afraid of wanting to reinvent yourself and evolve. Like, even with this podcast thing, it was just like an extra thing that I wanted to add to my, I don't know, list of skills or what I'm about. And it's definitely helped.
But also, we're all multifaceted humans, and we've got lots of different identities and lots of things that we want to share. And I think it's important to give ourselves permission to be more than one thing.
Yeah, for sure. So thank you very much. Where can people find you on socials?
Roxy Nafusi on Instagram. Do you use TikTok? I'm not on it.
I'm on it.
I'm so bad at it. I
know a guy who's pretty good at running TikTok accounts.
Okay, great.
So you need a team. Get yourself on TikTok, YouTube as well. You should have your own channel, 100%.
Shit.
I told Sadia Khan to do that, and she's nearly got 1 million subscribers now.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. You can give me some tips after this.
Nice. Thank you very much.
Thank you.